How many of you want to take the backpack off? I do. I really don't want to carry it around. Really don't want to. And we're going to talk about this morning how to take it off, how to be free, how to run with a little bit less weight on your shoulders. We all do. But as you read in that Hebrews text, he tells us to take those weights off. And I want to share a couple observations with you that are pretty normal for all of us, looking at the children of Israel and looking at the examples of faith that we just read in our epistle lesson. There's a lot of times in our lives, you know, where we're left in situations where we're afraid, a lot of times in our lives where we're worried about things. Anybody worried about anything? Anybody worried about something right now that's been on your mind? There's all sorts of things like that, things that we're afraid of, we're not sure of, and we don't know how things are going to work out. We don't know how the solution is going to come to the problem, or there's all sorts of things that we just sense and really bother us and weigh us down. God wants us to walk in faith. He wants us to trust Him. Well, I was thinking about some of the things that I don't understand, some of the things that I have questions about in life that just absolutely don't make any sense to me. I would like to ask God about these things when I get to heaven. Do you have things like that? I mean, for example, you've heard of Teflon on pans? You know, the no-stick stuff. You know, you put it on pans. It doesn't stick to anything, right? How do they get it to stick to the pans? You know, I mean, it's certain things that I really don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, we've flown a lot, and one thing that doesn't make any sense when we're flying is that when you're on your plane, they'll tell you that there's a flotation device under your seat. Remember those announcements? When you're in the plane, they say there's a flotation device under your seat. I think to myself, why not a parachute? I mean, that's what I would really like. That would be really helpful. When we were in Hawaii, this was, and somebody after the first service mentioned this too, because they've been in Hawaii. And in Hawaii, they have interstate highways. What? Why? You know, what is that? But yes, it is. It's, you know, Interstate 1, and didn't make any sense to me. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff like that that we'd wonder about, we'd be concerned about. But the biggest issues that we have are things like when God doesn't answer our prayers, when we pray about something, we'll ask God to help us with health, help a loved one with their relationship, and it seems to go the exact opposite of the way you're praying. And we don't understand, and it's really puzzling, and it causes us to doubt God. It causes us to doubt if He even listens. And it doesn't increase our faith, but it's actually supposed to be the opposite. And that's really what I want to talk with you about, because God uses times when He doesn't answer prayers, when there's delays, and when there's difficulties and issues that happen in life. Those are actually meant to shape us in our faith. They're strategic. They're strategic, put in there by God to shape you into the person He's called you to be. Actually, we see this in the readings. Think about Abraham. Abraham, when he was 75, received a promise. Didn't happen. Didn't have a child. He was 99. That's a long time, and he had to wait. It says that in the text, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. He died not getting the promised land. He was a renter in it to the day that he died. But yet he died in faith. Noah was 120 years building the ark. That is a long time. He received a promise from God and just had to wait. Joseph is mentioned. He was given a promise that he would be the ruler of Egypt, and he sat rotting in jail for year after year after year for something he didn't even do. He was falsely accused, he got arrested, and he was just left in jail. And I was reading about David this week. He was anointed king, and he didn't become king immediately. He actually, right after he was anointed as king, Saul tried to kill him, And then he had to run away, and it was for a long period of years that he was actually being chased by Saul, and Saul tried to kill him a number of times. But to show you how God works faith, David actually became more loving and more respecting and even spared Saul's life as a result of not getting what he was promised. So that's why he's a man of faith, because he actually let that circumstance shape him into a man that was more in the character of Jesus Christ. So that's what God's doing. And the classic story is the children of Israel. It's in the text. It says, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land. When the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around it for 7 days. See, it took 2 weeks to walk from where they were in Egypt to the Promised Land. Why in the world did it take 40 years? You know, I mean, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses explains why to the people. He says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you, to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither your fathers had known, you or your fathers, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, or your feet did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord disciplines you. So God gives us waiting times, times of perplexity, times of wonder, actually to prepare us for even more difficult times and things that might come so that we can be people of faith as we go through them. This is orchestrated by God. It is the most amazing thing. God has made a commitment to you in the blood of Jesus Christ, and nothing can change that. The only thing at issue is your response. That's it. And it's amazing. The children of Israel had a really hard time with this, just like I do, and just like you do. It's normal for us. And, you know, really only two of the adults that left Egypt entered the Promised Land. Their kids did. But the rest were stumbling and had difficulties and didn't know where to trust God. Now, God gave them tests along the way that developed their faith. But, you know, it was trial. It was hard. It was difficult. And two of the things that they did that I know I do, I think it's things for us to be encouraged in, because we all feel these things, is fearing and fretting. Fretting is worrying. And fearing. The children of Israel were scared. They were terrified. I would be terrified too. I would be absolutely terrified if I had to go through what they did. Can you imagine being in front of the Red Sea, and they're in front of the Red Sea, which is, you're not going to get across that. And then behind them, they have Pharaoh's armies, and they say, we're afraid. God says, don't be afraid. God says, don't worry. Don't be afraid. They said, we're afraid. And then when they got to the Promised Land, they saw the people were huge. They were much bigger than they were. They were giants like Goliath. That race was still there. And they looked at those people, and they said, we can't fight them. We're afraid. God said, don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. You see, what the point is this, is when we are afraid of things, when you're afraid of a situation, when you're afraid of a person, when you're afraid of a response, when you're afraid of your health or your job or your relationships, it keeps you in the wilderness. It keeps you in a wilderness of doubt. It keeps you in a wilderness of anxiety. It keeps you in a wilderness of frustration. And God is coming to us. There's a verse from Isaiah. He says, for I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, do not be afraid. I am here to help you. You see, what he wants us to do when you sense that you're in the wilderness and when you sense that you're afraid is rely and focus on the presence of God. Rely and focus on the presence of God, because God is with you. It actually says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ is up in heaven right now praying for you. He's praying for us. That's what he's doing. He is in heaven. He's praying for you and I. He's praying for every situation that you go through. And the Holy Spirit is working in you to create faith, to sustain faith through His Word, to remind you of the promises. He's whispering in your ear saying, it's going to be okay. Don't be overcome with the fears, but focus rather on God's presence, God's working in you. You will never, ever, ever face a situation without Him. Impossible. It's just not going to happen. And we easily forget that when we start being afraid. It's so easy for us. I do. I just forget it. And I have to remind myself, don't fear. God is present. I don't deserve it. I haven't earned it. God is present because He loves me. He loves you. That's the gospel. It's amazing. And when that gets in our hearts and minds, and when we see that God has not forgotten you, He has not passed over you, He forgives you. That is an amazing strength and power to us. It allows us to be free, to trust Him, to learn to trust Him, to move forward in faith. It's a challenge. But worrying, fretting, that's the word. There's actually a Bible verse that talks about fret. There's a couple of them. But fret means worry. Don't get worried. Don't get upset. It's very easy to do, isn't it? I heard this one preacher. This is a great, great line. He said that, we don't mind being in stressful situations. We don't mind having to wait. We don't mind having to deal with things that don't go right, as long as we can sit around and complain about it. And I thought, that's really true. I mean, people just complain and complain and complain. And there's always this, rather than look at things positively, complain. The children of Israel were no different. They get to the Red Sea. Ah, that's ridiculous. God's going to kill us all in the wilderness here. Red Sea parts, get across the sea. We got nothing to eat. God says, okay, well, let's just make manna out of nothing. There you go. We want meat now. Well, God says, quail. There you go. Now we're thirsty. God brought us out in the desert to kill us with thirst. He says, well, just speak to that rock and water will gush out. It's very normal, isn't it? I mean, we look at situations and we see the situations, and it is so easy to kind of worry, and the worrying leads to complaining and stuff. And what God calls us to do rather is to see and trust Him. I saw this story. I think I've shared it before, but it's a great one. A man's learning to wait on God, right? And so he's talking to God, and he says, God, how much is $1 million to you? God says, it is but a penny. And the man says, God, how long is 1 million years to you? God says, it is but a second. So the man says, God, could you please give me a penny? And God says, sure, just a second. God is never, ever in a hurry. And it's good for us to hear that. One of the most miserable operations in the world is to try to hurry God. He's never rushed to do anything. He just takes His time at doing it. Now, when Abraham was waiting for his child, he decided that he had a solution for it. So he got together with one of his handmaids, and he had a child through that with Sarah's permission. And that child was called Ishmael. Now, you probably know who Ishmael grew up to be. Ishmael grew up to be the Arab nations. That's the father of the Arab nations, and they claim him as their father. And so all this commotion that we see in the Middle East, all this fighting, all this radical Islam, all this stuff that's going on, it goes back to Abraham. And people say that Arabs are anti-Semitic. That's impossible. Abraham is both their father. So, it's good just to wait. Just to trust God. Fear not, fret not, forget not the promises that He's given to us. That's the third point. And that's really where our focus is good to be and good to keep. That God in His grace has come to you. And it doesn't matter what storms, it doesn't matter what difficulties, it doesn't matter what trials you face. And I want to tell you that your faith, your relationship with Jesus Christ is really at the heart of this. It's not by the works that you do, it's not by anything that you offer him, it's not by anything that you have accomplished, past, present, or future, it's by your faith, it's by trusting him. And what trust does is trust allows the character of Jesus Christ to be worked more effectively in us, his patience and his love and his kindness. And that's really what God is working in you. That's really what he's shaping within us. And he uses that. He uses that in your life, and he uses that in the life of people around you. And he develops that within us. Surely, if you think about it, just take a moment right now and think about all the things that God has done for you, the times that he's helped you, the times that he's brought you to a situation and you didn't know how things were going to work out. Surely you can think of things that God has done that he has worked in your life. And now surely at the same time, you can think of things that are very perplexing, very difficult for you. They're great trials. And you're worried and you're frustrated about these things. And you kind of think you're just going to have to handle it on your own. And maybe you don't even have God in the picture of this thing. But God wants to be in the picture of it. He desires to be. He is already, but we just don't see it. And so he asks us to sit back and say, God, thank you. Thank you for helping with this. This is your grace. This is your love. This is your kindness to me. I am your child. I'm going to rest strongly in your leading and in your guidance. And God, you are going to make me a person that I wasn't in the past, but it's because I'm trusting in you. There was a time when Jesus and his disciples, they're all fellowshipping together and they're growing strong and the disciples are learning so many wonderful things. And it would have been great to be in Jesus' presence. So they decided to take a trip on Lake Galilee. And as they're going over the lake, this huge storm breaks out. And they're panicking. They're fishermen. They think that all is lost. And they're fishermen, so they probably know that it's really dangerous. So they're freaking out. And they look, and in the back of the boat, Jesus is sleeping. He's got a pillow on his head, and he is sleeping. And they panic, and they go back to him, and they say, "Don't you care about us?" And that's always it. It's like, "Don't you care about us? Don't you see? Don't you understand? Don't you care?" And he just wakes up and says, "What's the problem here?" "Oh, storm. Storm stop." And it just stops. Instantly. And he speaks to you and he speaks to me, and I need to hear it more clearly every day. Storm stop. Peace. He speaks that into your life. He directs that. It's his gift to you in Jesus Christ. And I am convinced we just need to hear that more. We need to stop and not be overwhelmed and just let a Bible verse flow into your mind, because it is the Word of God that creates faith and sustains faith. And it is Holy Communion, where we come up and we partake in the gift of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we receive that, and it speaks to us of his forgiveness. Our God is good. He's brought us into a wonderful relationship with him. And, you know, in his goodness and grace, he's given us just the years that we have on this earth. Because picture yourself just like the children of Israel. We're on a journey. We're on a journey trusting him. Just let him work a rich faith in you. He's made that commitment to you already. Or just receive it and grow in it. In Jesus' name, amen.